Well, a pleasant morning to each of you. It's so good to have this number out and good to have some visiting with us. We want you to feel at ease as you make your visit. And one way we believe that will help you feel comfortable is if you take your Bible and study with us. I have no intention of belittling anything you might believe to be true, and yet at the same time have the responsibility to instruct you in the way of God. If you find that I've taught something wrong, I stand to be corrected. If you'll show me the error of my way, I'll make the proper correction. In a few moments, we'll stand and sing the song that Brother Craig has suggested. If you've never put on Christ in baptism, all things have been made ready. There's clothing here. The baptistry's filled. If you would make your way to the front and let your request be made known, that you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and upon that confession, we'll immerse you into Christ for the remission of sins. Or if you've wandered away from Christ and have gone back into the world, and you need to be restored to Christ, if you'll make your way to the front as we sing the invitation song, we'll be glad to assist you in any way. If you have your Bible this morning, if you'll turn with me to the book of John in the 4th chapter, I want to read 2 verses for the thought of our study. The book of John and the 4th chapter, begin reading with me at verse 23. But the hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father is seeking such to worship Him. God is spirit, and those who worship Him must worship in spirit and truth. Jesus, in His conversation with the Samaritan woman, brought out some serious thoughts in regard to worship. I've often been made to wonder if we ever realize that worship can be a very dangerous or yet a very delightful thing. It is my purpose at this time to bring to your heart some things that can make this part of your life and service to God either dangerous or delightful. Before we talk about the dangers and delight of worship, I want to bring 3 quick thoughts to your mind. The first thing I want to bring to your mind is the fact that worship means to reverence, praise, adore the deity. And the deity we're talking about is the God of heaven, the only true and living God. We can talk about God the Father, God the Son, and God the Spirit, and we can say they are worthy of praise. They deserve to be honored. And so the first thing we need to recognize is that worship is treasuring God above all things and giving Him adoration, praise, and glory. The second thing I want to bring to your mind is the fact that Jesus and the Father and the Spirit have instructed us how to worship. In each dispensation and age, man has been told how he's to worship to please God. You can go back to the patriarchal age and even before and look at Abel and Cain and how they worshiped God. How Abel worshiped God in a way that pleased him, and Cain worshiped in a way that displeased him. Then you can come to the Mosaic Age and you'll find that those who kept the Mosaic Law were the people that were pleasing to God. But those who did not keep the law displeased the God of heaven. Then you come to the age we live in, the Christian age, and we have the last will and testament, the New Testament, that God has used to instruct us on how to worship. The Holy Spirit has revealed unto us how we're to worship, and He has left it preserved in the Word of God. So that are 2 things we can put down this morning. Number 1, that God is worthy of worship, and secondly, that God has told us how to worship. But when you think about the worthiness of God, turn to the Revelation letter and the 5th chapter. In Revelation chapter 5, you will find that at this time, John says, in verse 12, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing." I want us to think about what worship is adoration and praise to God. And then we're told how to worship, and we're told that God is worthy of worship. No man is worthy of it, but only the God of heaven. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Spirit are worthy of being praised. But that brings up the thought we want to talk about for the remainder of our time, and that is the dangers and delight of worship. I first want to talk about some things which make worship dangerous. And there are several things we might mention that would certainly have a tendency to make worship dangerous. Some things are just right out wrong, while other things could hinder worship from being what it needs to be. The first thing I want to bring to your mind is that worship can be dangerous when the doctrines of men are taught instead of the Word of God. In your Bible, in the book of Matthew and the 15th chapter, Jesus makes a great statement. Jesus says in verse 9, "And in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men." Jesus made it plain and simple that if one worships God by the doctrines of men, they worship Him in vain, that it's empty, that it's worthless, that one must follow the pattern God has given to worship in spirit and truth. Today, if you look around, you'll see a great number of people who are worshiping God not by the wisdom of God, but by the wisdom of men. And in reality, they're saying to God, "I will worship you as I please." And I'll tell you, my friend, they add to the Word of God. And they do things they have no biblical authority for. If we are worshiping God, we need to remember that God has the right to tell us how to worship. He is the one that we are giving our adoration to. He's the one we're giving our praise to. He's the one that we're giving glory to. And He has the right to instruct us and direct us in how we worship. And when men change what God has said, they do so at a very dangerous peril. I want you to think about, my friend, this morning, how many places they may have someone sing a song and everyone applaud. Or the preacher makes a point and everyone applaud. I want to know, my friend, who are we glorifying? The singer? The preacher? Or are we here to glorify God? I'll tell you, my friend, it's a dangerous thing to rob God of what is rightfully His, glory, praise, and honor. But secondly, I want us to understand that there is a dangerous thing to just go through the motions of worship. Worship is more than just attending. If it is your understanding that worship is just being inside this building and going through some acts, my friend, that is a very dangerous thing. It includes far more than just going to the building and singing a few songs, saying a prayer, and hearing a message. I want us to understand that God wants the heart of man. And our heart needs to be engaged, our mind needs to be engaged, when we worship the true and living God. God deserves the heart and the mind of man. And there'll be more about that in just a few moments, but I want us to remember it's dangerous to just attend and go through the motions. But there's a third thing I want to bring to your mind. It's dangerous when we allow a lot of distractions to occur during the worship time. Now, I recognize Moses stood on holy ground, and I may be standing on dangerous ground. But I want to say this in love and in humility. Everything in the worship to God should be carried out with the least amount of distraction. This includes young people talking or texting or riding or even horseplay. Sometimes you'll see young people kind of punch one another. And I recognize, young people, sometimes my preaching may be boring to you. But one thing we need to remember is we can distract others from worship, and our mind cannot be engaged on what we need to be thinking about if we are playing in the assembly. But you know, the same thing goes with adults. Sometimes there are adults that are clipping their nails, or they're looking at Facebook, or they're looking at something on their phone that's not the Bible. And I'll tell you, adults, my friend, that we can distract others and have ourselves distracted for the very purpose we came for. We came to give God glory, honor, and praise. And sometimes we forget that we are here to worship the true and living God. And I'll say this. Sometimes we can distract by going out too much. I believe that we need to learn how to go and be the kind of people that are able to worship God. Now, let me say that there are babies that cry. Nothing wrong with that. And I appreciate parents who try to teach their children to sit through worship. And I'm very sympathetic and very patient with parents who are working with their children. But there comes a time when the child will not quit crying, they won't calm down, and they need to be carried out so as not to distract others from worship. And then there are some that just seem like they have to get up and go. And I recognize that many times you may need a drink of water. You may have a dry throat. You may have a coughing fit. You may have to take medication. But as no longer than we stay here, you think that for the majority of the time, we could go through a service without a drink of water. Now, I say that with love and humility, recognizing there may be reasons for one to go out. But we want to remember that we need as little distraction as possible so we can worship God in spirit and in truth. But then I want you to think about something else. Some are not prepared to worship. It's a very dangerous thing not to come prepared to worship God. Some stay up so late on Saturday that their minds are not able to think on Sunday for worship. Now, when I was a young man, I'd go to a University of Tennessee football game and come in at 2 in the morning, get up and preach, and that was no problem. But that doesn't happen much anymore because I recognize that on Sunday, my mind would not be where it needs to be, focused on God. And some have their minds on things to do through the day instead of on the God they serve and the God they worship. I'll tell you, my friend, there can be things that keep us from being prepared to worship God. But let me give you one other danger. There's the danger of making a show out of our worship. You know, there can be someone who does an outstanding job in leading singing, and they're to be commended that they're using their ability to the glory of God. However, at the same time, here's a fellow who's doing the best he can, who may not have the very ability this other man has. Does that mean that the worship that he offers up is less? I'll tell you, no. He's doing the best he can to lead us in song. Or here's a preacher that's just outstanding and he's mesmerizing to listen to. And here's another fella who's maybe not as easy to listen to. Does that mean that we are just to turn him off? Oh no, my friend. Worshiping God includes studying the Word of God. And so we need to remember in our worship not to make a show of it, but to do it in love and in humility, giving God glory and praise. But that brings up the thought about worship being delightful. For a moment, let me talk to you about how worship can be such a joy. When you read what Jesus said in John 4 and 24, that God is a spirit, we must realize that we are worshiping the true and living God, not man, not angels, but God. The God that Isaiah described in Isaiah 40, who could hold the waters in the hollow of his hand, the God who can measure the universe with the span of his hand, the God who can measure the dust of the earth and can scale the mountains. I want you to understand, my friend, he's the almighty, majestic, awesome God, and we must worship him in spirit and truth. But secondly, notice that word truth. When we worship God, we worship by truth. We follow the law that we are under, and we are under the new covenant. Open your Bible to the Hebrew letter in the 10th chapter, and I want you to take note that we're not under the law of Moses. In Hebrews chapter 10, he said in verse 1, "For the law, having a shadow of the good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never, with these same sacrifices," "which they offer continually year by year, make those who approach perfect. For then would they not have ceased to be offered? For the worshipers once purified would have no more consciousness of sin." Notice he said, under the old law, they continued. But look at what he says about us in verse 10. "By that will we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all." There are a lot of people that want to go back and take part of the old law and bring it into the new. But my friend, we don't offer animal sacrifices like David. Some want David's heart, but they don't want David's law. I'll tell you, we are not under the law that David was under. David was under the Mosaic law. We are under Christ. In 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 5, he said, "You also as living stones are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ." Not by Moses, not by Abraham, by Jesus Christ. And my friend, if we could get that down, that would be sufficient. We are to worship the truth in Christ. God has given us everything we need to know how to worship in spirit and truth. But then I want you to think about it's a delight to worship God because of the joyful response to God. When we realize that worship is a joyful response to God for who He is and what He's done for us. It's difficult to understand how one could talk about the Christ on the cross and not want to worship God. To think about how much love God has displayed towards man, even though we have gone contrary to His will. Isn't it a delight to know that God wants to adopt us as His children? That God wants us to be saved from our sin? That God wants us to be pardoned from unrighteousness? Oh, I would that I had the ability to put into the hearts of men and women the joy of worshiping God. It's a wonderful joy to worship God, and in so doing is a delightful time in our life. And then I want you to think about the feeling. Certainly when there is a joy in worshiping God, there would be some feeling, some joyful feeling. Now, one thing we need to recognize is that we must put our feelings into it. And when we worship God, we let God have our heart and our mind. Now, we recognize tonight that the feelings are not our standard this morning. And we may feel good one Sunday and bad the next. But I tell you that feelings is based upon truth. When we're eating the Lord's Supper, we remember what the Lord has done for us. And what a joy. And what a feeling comes to our heart to know that He loved us enough to die for us and that He's coming again. It should be a delightful part in our life to worship God. It's the most important thing we do. I care not if you're a president of a bank, a president of the United States, or whatever your occupation, the most important thing you'll do today, the most important thing you'll do all week, is worship God. If so do, we let nothing take the place of our worship and adoration to God. Pouring out our heart to God in love, giving God the praise He deserves, because God is worthy. I want to ask you one question. Has worship become dangerous because you've allowed things to distract you and take you away from God? Have you allowed the doctrines of men to infiltrate your mind, and instead of following the biblical pattern, you're following what some man says? Or is worship delightful because you worship in spirit and in truth, and you have joy because you're right with God? If you're here this morning and you're not a child of God, our prayer is that something has been said that will touch your heart and make you want to believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and upon that belief, be baptized into Christ for the remission of sin. If you need to obey the gospel, we pray you come. As together we stand and sing, we cordially invite you.